Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
All right, let's bring in this. I think this is his Dirty Dozen's 12th appearance. Could be 13th, could be the 20th. Who knows at this point? Brian Campbell, one half of the Morning Combat duo. Showtime extraordinaire, Ring City extraordinaire. If there's a ring, he's probably going to come steal your job, take your job on television. He'll be there Showtime this weekend. Brian Campbell, I mean, everything's turning up Brian Campbell right now.
Yeah, Mr. Steal Your Job. Savor the flavor while it lasts, but thank you very much. I'm a blessed man. Thank you for having me on so many times. I'm basically the unpaid co-host at this point, right?
Yeah, I'm going to send you a check. It's coming.
I'm the Curran Battier of the show, right?
Yeah, but he has got way better hair than you.
That is a great point. Yes.
So you'll be there this weekend for the Showtime card. They're kicking off their big summer schedule. It's just across the Twitter wire, so it's got to be true that you're going to be doing pre and post fight interviews as Jim Gray heads off to the International Basketball Hall of Fame.
That is very true. Very excited to be part of the great Showtime team. Of course, I've done various things here and there over the years with them, so to actually be on an actual broadcast, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. And big shoes to fill for the great Jim Gray, who, you know, let's not forget why he made his name. He's not afraid to go after people. So
yes.
Hey, it might be Danny's night. We'll see, you know.
He's had some moments, man. The Tyson spinal, who can forget when on a lesser stage when he went up to Paulie after that Cano fight at the inaugural event at Barclays. And as he was heading up to the ring, he leaned over to us and said, "Hey, what were the punch stats?" And Paulie got outlanded by 100 punches, and Jim Gray writes him down, heads into the ring, asks Paulie right away, like, "Yeah, you maybe didn't get the decision because you're outlanded by 100 punches." And then Malignaggi unloaded on us at CompuBox that we need lens crafters. So Jim Gray makes moments. So just big shoes.
And you know, the Canobios, they don't take those insults lightly.
No, right? That's Paulie, set off a war.
We're still looking at you, Paulie. All right.
That set off a long war, but we're ready. We're ready to go. Canelo fight week had just commenced, but it's still there. There's some fallout. As always, when I have an event that big, there's going to be talking points, especially Canelo Alvarez, someone who's continuing to fight, take on all challenges. What a fight. What an event this past Saturday. AT&T, 70,000 fans. You know the deal by now. Breaking the orbital bone. We're not going to get into whether he quit or not because I really don't care. I care about Canelo inside the ring. Let's start with that. I thought it was a really good performance. I thought, obviously, anytime that you can throw 20 punches around, you can and still dominate or still take out your opponent, that should be that should be applauded. But there are some little small criticisms, Brian. Small criticisms.
Ooh, you have small criticisms of Big Red.
Yes, I understand that that's just like sacrilege these days. And I tweeted it out right after the fight. I was like, yeah, it was a great performance, but Canelo, I think, is starting to fall in love with his power just a tiny, tiny bit.
I mean, did he let Kovalev even set a certain tone as the boxer behind that big jab and sort of wait till he tired and set up that moment? You could argue that he is, but like, I get is your criticism in the way of saying essentially, Canelo, you're almost too good to just rely on trying to line somebody up with that big shot and not worry as much about giving away some rounds against Kovalev? I thought he lost a small handful of rounds. I thought Kovalev was very in that fight. And I think the same thing with Saunders. I had it 4-3 entering the round in which Saunders ultimately got stopped in. So, in Luke Thomas and I on my show, Morning Combat, we had a big debate over that. I'm saying, look, the fight's 4-3 on my card. He's like, that's fine. Billy Joe was never in it. Canelo was waiting to line him up with that big bomb. Are you saying, Danny C, that when you're the pound for pound king, when you're the guy, don't be fighting that fan-friendly style, bro? Floyd my ass.
Well, the difference between him and Floyd is that when he throws, he can break an orbital bone. He can knock you out. He gives you that extra thing, but he has the same game plan as Mayweather inside the ring. And, guys like Jermell Charlo, guys like Wilder also have this similar style of fighting where they throw a very low amount of punches and they really hone in on their power. They really depend on their power. And that's what Canelo's doing. I don't know if criticism's the right word. It's an interesting style to see he has. And you bring up the Kovalev fight that, the 26 punches thrown by Canelo in that fight per round against Saunders was his career low. His second lowest was against Kovalev when he only threw 28 punches around. If you want to keep going against Amir Khan, he was under 30 also too. And if some people had Khan up in that fight too, I get it's a strategy. I just think that it's risky. It's very risky from Canelo. And who knows, maybe the antics of Saunders played into his mind. He said he wanted to knock him out in the eighth. He knocked him out in the eighth. You know, maybe he was just lining up one big shot. I don't know if he can do
it's
that.
It's not new though. Let's be honest though, because you know, even
glaring,
in,
though.
Even in the Lara and Trout fights, and I scored the Lara fight 115-113 for Lara, although I acknowledge that Lara did not do enough where you could have a big argument that he won, right? If you favored Canelo, but even in that fight, I thought Canelo even maybe didn't do it, you know, as much to cement it. Yeah, he chased Lara down. He ate some shots. But even in the Trout fight, and I may go down as the only person who actually scored that fight for Trout, I'm fine with that. Kieran Mulvaney, I'm looking at you. I did score it for Trout. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
I felt the biggest, you know, thing was, again, Canelo trying to be too efficient, too in love with his power, trying to land the big shot, which he did to knock Trout down. But did he cement that and leave no doubt with activity? Well, that's his style. I mean, even against Gennady Golovkin, who lived and died by the jab, that's who he is. I do get what you're saying. You know, when he is eventually, and this is where the storyline's taking us now. Okay. He's better than we thought he ever would be. Let's be honest. Canelo. It's one thing to be the pound for pound king and the best pay-per-view draw, which he is together. Rare when that comes together, but he's now actually settling a gap between him and those guys who last year had a much more legitimate claim for the throne, which was Inoue, Crawford, Spence. I think now it's Canelo and everyone else. So he's great, but when will he face the next actual legitimate challenge in which somebody might be able to outpoint him or knock him out, where some of this criticism that you're saying now that has been there in the background about output, will that catch up with him? It turns out that Saunders wasn't that guy, although I was certainly pushing the hipster agenda of he might be that guy, though. He might be that guy.
Well, same thing with Plant.
Who could have a case against Canelo after 12 rounds.
Yeah.
But will that be the Beterbiev fight if that happens? Will that be Jermall Charlo one day if that happens? Will it be Andrade if he ever decides to do that? Is there somebody out there right now in your eyes, Danny C, who's could make him pay for that maybe slight fault?
I would say Benavidez. If I'm going to go off of just output, no one throws more punches than Benavidez at 168. That's close to 70 around. He's got the power. Doesn't really have the movement. I think that Canelo might be able to figure him out, kind of, you know, plodding forward. Has some defensive deficiencies. That's Benavidez, but he's a guy with pop and a guy with volume, not so much movement. And I don't know when it comes down to who's going to come next. You know, obviously Plant, they're talking about him. We'll get into that in a little bit. The Charlos, I'm going to see that, but it's interesting. I don't know if it's much of a criticism or it's just something that it was glaring to me on Saturday night. And the reason why Saunders got back into that fight rounds 5 through 7 was because Canelo was not putting his combinations together. Frotch had mentioned it on the telecast. You know, Saunders outlanded Canelo 31-18 over rounds 5 through 7. I think, you know, you had to give those middle rounds to Saunders, the other one, the first and the fourth or for Canelo when you're watching second time around. But I'm interested to see what's next for him. Obviously, he called out, you know, Caleb Plant afterwards. And that fight now is now what's being discussed on the interwebs, being discussed on the Twitterverse. There's this now debate on should Canelo go to pay-per-view, because boxing fans love to get into the finances. They'd love to get into the business side. Should the debate of Canelo on a pay-per-view model versus Canelo on the DAZN subscription model is going to rage on for the next couple of weeks until this fight, you know, we start hearing more negotiations about it.
Is it a debate? DAZN now two fights in a row with Canelo has opened the door up for the traditional pay-per-view option, of which you get, you know, a certain month discount of the DAZN package. And I think that was it turns out a necessary move. While DAZN did come out with the "we're killing pay-per-view" tagline in the beginning, You're on an island if you're streaming only. You know, the other promoters can't work with you. So this is a smart move there. I think personally, Canelo is going to still seek the Plant fight and get it, but is going to go through Eddie to get it. And I don't know if that's a fight that's somehow on like Fox pay-per-view and into DAZN pay-per-view at the same time. I don't know. They're going to have to figure that out. But I think that he really likes Eddie and respects the fact that Hearn, say what you will about him, and I've been way more positive than negative in terms of his impact since bringing his business to the States a few years ago. I mean, you saw that was like a rock star concert on Saturday night.
No doubt about it.
Anthony Joshua feel.
Right.
Hearn knows how to handle superstars. And I think if you look back at Hearn's comments about how Arum recently got into public battles with Teofimo and Terrence Crawford, that, you know, he understands how to treat and speak to and serve a superstar fighter. So I think Canelo is going to stay with him, but I think this is where I just say, like, look, what are we going to say bad about Canelo now? He's the best in the game. He's the biggest draw. He's going out of his way to fight people that are difficult just to fulfill his goal. Let's say he closes this year with fighting and beating Plant to become the super middleweight undisputed champion, the first Mexican to do that, first time in this division's history for anybody, and then fight, I don't know, Golovkin in December as a gift to the fans, and then comes back in 2022 and is like, okay, I'll take Benavidez, and then I want, Beterbiev, who again might be, you know, Beterbiev's great. I mean, he's right outside my top 10 pound for pound, but he's getting older. Whomever, man. I mean, you know, Danny Jacobs is supposedly moving up to 75 to try to get a belt. So he's not going to stop doing what's best for the sport. Yeah. I have so much respect for who he became. Dan, you and I have been covering this game forever. We remember him as the pretty face matinee idol. Will he ever be great? Well, look, by the time he was headlining pay-per-views against Floyd and Lara and Angulo, like, he became pretty damn great, you know, pound for pound ranked, not a guy who's a threat to be the best in the sport, but man, even with the close decisions that shouldn't have always gone his way, even with the clenbuterol situation, do you believe it? Even with, he did knock out Archie Solis's teeth on the sidewalk in Guadalajara, apparently. And
he also negotiated the release of his brother, who was kidnapped in Guadalajara too.
And he's got weird tats. I mean, there's a lot going on there. But this past 2 week period, from the Graham Benzinger interview to him sending Demetrius Andrade to hell in the post fight press conference, it's a new Canelo.
Yeah.
We have to bow down while he's going to act this way, because he's making the fights we want. He's a star. He's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty damn good dude. I'm all kinds of all high on Canelo right now.
I know, right? I'm sitting here nitpicking his output. That's the best I can do.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find one thing that we can just say, all right, I mean, let's see if there's something in the armor that could prevent him from, you know, looking so great in there. But yeah, everything you're adding up, the whole picture.
Danny,
now,
let me interrupt you and say, even when he was fighting at Canelo weight of 155, and that's the other black eye we don't talk about enough. He waited Triple G out a year and a half to maybe even 2 years, right? Fighting Amir Khan first, just kind of stretching it out, waiting
photo
on
photo fight.
Okay, it's been done before by stars, but that's one of the rare, true, as Rafe Bartholomew would say, heel Canelo moments. Even with that said, though, man, I forgot what point I was going to. All right, maybe my point was Canelo's great. Just take that, Canelo's great.
I think that's what you're heading towards. But the whole thing where he has everything going for him now, the Andre trash talking, the interviews, talking in English now more, he's getting it now. And I just posted on Twitter now, he's now made it into the non-boxing meme Instagram accounts. Like, Funny Hoodvich posted his thing with when he was telling Andre to get the F out of here. You know, it says, like, when someone says they don't like tacos, like, he's now crossing over into these things. And I know that's not the best gauge, but it's something, but, you know.
You know, you want to be a star and you decide to start speaking English, which we all knew he could speak. It's a smart move. It's the right time to do it. And the point I was going to make, Dan, was when he was at 155 Canelo weight, would you ever have imagined, because we thought then that he was afraid to move up to 160 and fight the best, that he would go to 68 and be the biggest puncher in every fight?
75 too.
Or 75 and win a belt. I mean, it's freaking remarkable how great he became. Because he could have leveled off, won and lost a few in the second half of his career, still been a star, but he ain't going nowhere, man.
It shows
better.
It shows the dedication. I think things really changed for him after the second Triple G fight, where he was still getting criticized by his own fans, the Mexican fans, saying that they didn't like the way he fought. They didn't like that he would circle around. They didn't like that he was on his back foot. He put Golovkin on his back foot. He walked him down. I thought he won that second fight. That's when things really started to change, and that's when we're seeing what we have today with Canelo. I want to ask you quickly. You're in with the MMA crowd. Does the MMA crowd respect Canelo?
They were very late to the crowd on him, and I think only still thought of him as that young kid with the red hair who fought Floyd that time and lost, right? And maybe some had came back for the Golovkin 2 fights and they realized, okay, he's a star. But I think he was the default pay-per-view boxing superstar, non-heavyweight in the aftermath of the Floyd and Manny era. And let's be honest, this is the Canelo era right now. It's not the heavyweight era. We got fun heavyweights. It's the Canelo era. Yeah. Believe that. But I think just recently they're starting to really tune in and realize how actually great he is. And again, it's the same thing about how you and I are, you know, parading him, putting flowers all over him and saying, dude, he was not this good heading into the two Golovkin fights. I mean, he is insanely great. And yes, they're starting to take notice. The English language change will be a big boost.
Yeah. And another question about the MMA crowd. The MMA crowd, I feel like the boxing crowd takes pride in the fact that their fighters get compensated well. On the flip side of things, I've always thought this. Does the MMA crowd care that their fighters don't get paid as well just because they're getting – seems like they're getting good fights on a bigger basis?
It's hard to speak for the crowd in general on that. The crowd is waking up and understanding that they're not getting paid commensurate to boxing or commensurate to what the UFC actually takes in per year. I don't know that the fans overwhelmingly to a large percentage actually care. And the reason is what you just teased. The reason why UFC has been so friggin' successful and why they've been almost anti-boxing and how they matchmake is because Dana White and company rescued that sport when it wasn't even allowed to be on TV anymore. They saved it from nothing, mm-hmm. and they insulated themselves as, you know, promoter, matchmaker, all that. Like, they have the control over everything, and that control also leads to the smaller pay. And when that changes, and eventually it will, I don't see how there's any question the matchmaking can only get worse. Maybe not dramatically worse, but the matchmaking can only get worse the more control fans or fighters will rightfully have. I don't think the fans, though, are the ones who are going to be at the picket lines. I think you're seeing finally the media start to really not gang up, because it's not our responsibility to try to make change. It is our responsibility to put out there on our platforms what's actually happening. And I think you're seeing more media members just like take the narrative and push it forward. On our show, Morning Combat, we've been like, you know, John Jones doesn't deserve star money. What era are we in right now?
Exactly. I mean, come
on. Like, you know, give that man his whatever guaranteed millions to fight whomever, because that's what the stars on that level deserve.
And it's funny, because I hate to give him credit. It's Jake Paul is that when he's going after Dana White, and obviously these conversations have been happening for a while. You know, the boxing fighters pay so much is drastically different than MMA fighters pay. Jake Paul is now speaking on it. He's going after Dana White. You're seeing these crossover fights. The business things are starting to mesh together. So I always wondered that. But let's move forward here. Showtime Boxing this weekend. They're kicking off their summer schedule. You'll be there. Like we said, you're doing post-fight interviews, filling in for Jim Gray. Really good main event. Really, really good main event, Brian. This is the type of fight in boxing, when you talk about styles make fights, that I like the most. When you have a knockout guy versus a volume guy. You have the knockout guy in Neary versus the volume guy in Brandon Figueroa, who throws 95 punches a round, which is just absurd. He's broken numerous CompuBox records. That's Brandon Figueroa. Going up against a guy in Neary who's a little misunderstood, but you can't deny the fact that he's got game-changing power. That's Lewis Neary.
This is a great matchup, as you said. Let's give Showtime the credit. You know, not me patting them on the back for no reason.
Right,
they've
taken
the 122-pound division, which I think has, you know, it's been reloaded with marketable names and recognizable names for U.S. fans for the first time in a while. And, I mean, let's not demean ourselves. I mean, we had Frampton and those guys in there not too long ago. But still, like, it's hot right now. They've got 90% or 75% of these guys. Obviously, Akhmadaliev has two of the four titles, and he's not with them. But they're making great fights. The styles are great, and it's taking place in Dignity Health Sports Park, StubHub Center to all of us. The what does Ray Flores call it? The
war grounds,
you know, I mean, like, rightfully so. I mean, every, you know, so many great fights there. They have the styles, the makeup, and the want here to be great. And if they do and carry out their game plans, it's going to be a thriller. Now, will it be a, you know, Rio Salvarado level brawl? I don't think it'll be as crazy, because there's skill involved. More skill involved, let's say, but it's going to be the perfect dynamic of pace, skill, and want and hunger. And I think, you know, I took part in the fighter meetings this week, and you've already got Figueroa saying publicly that he's not sure Neary is the puncher at 122 that he was at 118.
Interesting.
He watched that fight against Jason Almeida, in which Neary went the distance and at times looked like Neary the killer, at times looked a little pedestrian. He's the one openly questioning, am I the guy with the bigger punching power? And Neary's got to prove that. Then I talked to Neary and he says, dude, this is going to be a knockout. I mean, this is, you don't need the judges for this one. So the formula for explosion is great. Neary didn't want to get into it, but he's no longer with Eddie Reynoso of Team Canelo after that one fight.
Actually, I actually like that move.
went back to his old trainer from Tijuana. So maybe that was part of the disconnect. Maybe Neri was trying to be somebody he wasn't in that Alameda fight and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Either way, if you're telling me Neri, if he can make weight, and that's always an if with him, if he's going to come in looking to go guns blazing, he has the right opponent to match that, as you said, in the perfect style contrast. Yep. We know those Figueroa's siblings, very good looking across the board. I mean, well, that's, you know,
let's just hope that Brandon doesn't fight like what Omar was doing on May 1st.
Let's hope he looks like Omira afterwards and not like like Omar right now, you know. Yeah, like, but I don't know if that's possible against a puncher like Neri. I can't wait. Cool boy Steph Stephen Fulton Jr. reportedly from Showtime's matchmaking, you know, is looking like they want him to fight the winner. Yeah. Danny Roman, who's going to be on this card, he says he's the mandatory for the winner. There's a lot of good business going on in this division. It's going to be it's going to be showcased on Showtime. How about that one for you, Dan?
I like that. You should use that on Saturday night. Yeah, 122, one of the hottest divisions in boxing right now. But just to go back real quick, the one thing with Neri, a guy like when he fought Payano, he's the closest thing that there is to Figueroa in terms of volume. And Figueroa slowed down tremendously. He slowed his work rate down. So maybe that's one thing for Figueroa, is that Neri can come in there and slow it down a little bit, because he's going to have to slow down Figueroa some way. You know, 95 punches around.
He's a certified badass.
Yes, certified. He is. Certified badass. 95 punches around versus the knockout of Neri. Something's got to give. That's my favorite type of fight, because I always want to see that the volume guy, will he slow down, or will he be afraid to get those counters, or will the slowdown guy in Neri up his volume, try to match Figueroa's? All with the outset of the winner getting Fulton in September, like the plan is. That's a hot main event on Showtime. You'll be there. You'll be there in the ring after. What are you going with? What are you wearing? I know you like to rock the blue. I noticed that. That's really your go-to.
I don't know if I can get as experimental on this broadcast as I can on others, but I'll be looking pale, chubby. I'll be your boy BC 42. You know, let's do it. All right.
You're embracing that. You're leaning into that.
No, it's been I have not recovered. Remember when Sean Kemp had the lockout? Remember when the NBA had the lockout in 99? Sean Kemp, who was an all-star the year before with the Cavs, averaged 20 a game. He seemed to never fully recover and was fat the rest of his career. Dan, I have not recovered from this quarantine yet.
Dude, we've been out almost. You've been out.
The hope is that, you know, I won't be fat the rest of my career, but it's up to us as a people to start making some changes. And I've had this talk with myself too many times in the past, you know, few months.
Stay away from the gas station. Stay away from the sushi at the gas station. Stay away from the corn dog.
I wouldn't eat sushi out of a gas station.
You would.
Just about anything else.
You would. All right. Here we go. Brian Campbell, Saturday night, he'll be there at Showtime. We're breaking it all down. Really good schedule coming up too from Showtime as well. Always appreciate when you join us.
I can't wait
here
to hear your call of Heather Hardy's return.
Yes,
too.
I am heading out to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, UFC Fight Pass, Heather Hardy's debut over at a lightweight. She wants to keep fighting. So yeah, I'll be on the call with Justin Shackle, Callie Reese, Lou DiBella is supposed to be in attendance in Murfreesboro. We're going to head to Tennessee, Nashville afterwards. It's going to be a party, man.
Hey,
this
no
weekend.
Joke. No joke. Let's give it the respect. Women's boxing is making some moves right now. The Katie Taylor fight was great. I loved what, you know, the stuff that I did with Ring City, cut a couple of their, you know, Amanda Serrano making that comeback there. I'm loving that. It's not just one or two names. We got names.
No,
we got matchups. We got styles. We got hunger. All right. I'm hungry.
I know that you are hungry. Yes, that's for sure. Yes. Women's boxing on fire right now. Get it all this weekend. Brian Campbell, appreciate you as always. Special thanks to our guy, Brian Campbell, for joining us, bringing that noise. Always appreciate when he comes on the show. He'll be there this weekend on Showtime. That is one of the main cards this week. Luis Neri versus Brandon Figueroa, which should be a banger, as we said. I'll be heading down to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Friday night on UFC Fight Pass. Check it out. It's an all-women's card put on by DiBella Entertainment. I'll be on the call alongside Justin Shackle and Callie Reese. Heather Hardy will be the main event. She's going up against Jessica Camara. Support women's boxing. Women's boxing is on a heater right now. It's been great fights week after week. Clarissa Shields, Katie Taylor, all putting on big performances. It's going to be a great show, and it's on UFC Fight Pass. Go check it out. We'll be back next week for another edition of Inside Boxing Live.